Welcome here to everyone who has decided on this step one of our Saskatchewan's reopening. You have decided to enter this building. We're happy to have you here. And for those of you who are attending at home, you are also just as welcome as anyone else. This morning, I would like to begin our worship service by reading from Psalm 84. You'll hear that it is a very, very familiar psalm, and yet it is a psalm of longing to be in the sanctuary. That's how the psalmist felt, and I think that's how some of us, many of us, have felt over this last long year. Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you." Before we rise to sing our gathering song, I just want to note from this psalm two different, very important things. The psalmist, although he is saying, I want to be together in the sanctuary, I want to be there worshiping you, we know and we recognize that worship of God happens wherever we are. Wherever we decide to worship, that is a place of worship. It does not need to be within these walls that we call Zion. And that's the other thing I wanted to note. When Zion is mentioned here, we are not talking about any geographical location. Zion is the place where God dwells. That's what's meant by Zion. And that is where our longing comes from, to be dwelling where God dwells. Welcome here to Zion Mennonite Church. And let's sing together. You can rise as we sing number 12 in Hymnal, a Worship Book. Come, let us all unite to sing. So that's you at home as well. Come, let us all means all. We'll sing all three verses.
Thank you.
And you might have looked through the order of service in the bulletin this morning, and you'll recognize that each of the books in the pew ahead of you is used once. So now you can put aside the hymnal of worship book, and we're going to use each of the other two books, although the VT also stands for Voices Together. So if you have taken one of those from the shelf in the back, you can use that wherever it says VT, because there is quite a bit of crossover. I'd invite you to look at your bulletin, and we are going to read responsive reading. You'll read the all, and I'll read the leader. Actually, I'll read everything, but you can join me with the all. We are branches, rooted in the vine of Christ. We come because we seek to abide in Christ. The branches that remain in the vine bear much fruit. We come because we long to be spiritually vibrant, alive, productive. If we abide in Christ, then Christ's words will abide in us. We come because we strive to be faithful disciples. We gather for worship now to the glory of the one God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. May we grow wildly as God tends us lovingly. Please bow for prayer. God of every place, some of us see you today from mountains of joy and confidence, mountains of gratitude and praise. Some of us seek you today from valleys of grief or doubt, valleys of loss or exhaustion. And in all places, there you are with us, nudging us onward. When we descend from the heights, show us your presence on the ground. When we rise from the depths, show us the light of your way. Meet us all on the path made by Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your green book, Sing the Journey. Or if you prefer, take the purple book, the purple hardcover, Voices Together, number 50. Those of us with the green book, number 10, Spirit Working in Creation, four very short verses. So I think we can stand for them. Please rise.
Thank you.
Isn't that always the way? Just when you need a pen is never to be found. But when you don't need a pen, there are piles and piles of them, and they get in your way. And I look down here, and there's always a pencil here. Now I am prepared. Ready for your words of encouragement, thanks, or your requests for prayer. Because we want to remember you not only on a Sunday morning, but throughout the week, and pray for one another. Bart is on the move.
I haven't sent an update about Nick because there hasn't been a whole lot to update. He's gone through the last 2 weeks with one treatment each week in Swift Current, and he managed pretty well, although he was pretty tired. This week's going to be a pretty tough week because he has 5 treatments Monday to Friday, and they're double, so he'll have 2 in a row. And they're going to do it as an outpatient, so I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but we'll see how he manages. If he's really not well enough to stay home, I guess he's going to have to stay with me, but I'll let him do it his own call. So he's got it set up pretty good at home, and his friend is by. So that's all I have for now. Ask for prayers, and thank you for all the prayers so far. It's good.
You don't want to mention the other item?
Oh.
The other bundle of joy?
I think I mentioned that last week, didn't I? I didn't. Oh.
She had not yet been born.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes, she was still in labor. Well, it seems like I've had 100 pictures since then.
We're not asking for pictures here.
Anyways, I have a new baby granddaughter born on May 23rd. I guess that was last Sunday afternoon. She finally had to have a C-section, so that was kind of tough, but she's managing. She was actually out for a walk, she and Aaron, 5 days afterwards in the carriage. So the baby is baby girl, and her name is Violet Rain Augustina Enns. It's quite a mouthful, not named after anybody. They just like the names, and she's absolutely gorgeous. I'm, of course, a little biased, but I have heard all of those same remarks and comments, and I think she looks like Aaron. Again, I thought I was being a little bit biased, but others have mentioned that, so I've just agreed with them. So, yes, I'm absolutely thrilled.
Good, thank you.
So, yesterday, I had a interesting reminder. It was late in the evening, and I looked on this little cupboard that's the TV is on, and on top of a little coaster, there was a lid from a water bottle, the small lid, and inside the lid was some soil, and planted in this was a bit of a flower that had broken off, I think a lissom plant that Bart had. So one of the granddaughters they both are very good at noticing small things. So she had planted this little flower in this green lid sitting on this silver coaster. And I just had to smile because I could have missed it. I could have missed that little surprise. And it did remind me to notice the little things and be surprised by that. And I will let it sit there. I might have to give it a drop of water today. I'm not sure, it's so tiny. But it's just this interesting thing. Anyways.
Thank you, Joy. Okay. You still have some time. I'm going to go through some of the opportunities that are printed here in the bulletin, and then if suddenly your mind is spurred, Bart is always ready to leap into action. Look at the back of your bulletin, first of all, because it sort of goes together with the front. The front is speaking about the MCC relief sale and auction, which you have not missed yet because it continues from May 29th through June 12th. So there are plenty of days for you to find some way to support MCC for this year. And on the back, there is Conflict Transformation is the headline. And if you would like to learn more about how to be a person of peace and all of the different things that you could learn, power analysis, peaceful storytelling, mediation skills, how to have difficult conversations, and how to be an active bystander, you can attend some of these sessions by registering at MCC Canada and follow all of the links and the tabs and everything else. I think that sounds, the only thing that doesn't sound interesting about that is the Zoom part, but I'm I'm getting more accustomed to that. I think Zoom is here to stay. And wasn't there, Zoom used to be a thing here long before Zoom was a thing on the internet. So hey, Zoom started at Zion. What other things aren't starting here that could go viral, that could be worldwide phenomenons? Let's not neglect to see those little things. Anything can happen. And we chuckle because we don't really believe it. That's why we laugh, because it seems absurd. And yet that's exactly the way that God always works. It was Sarah that laughed in the tent. Remember that? We heard a sermon on that not too long ago, when she thought, I'm far too old to have a child. And God said, that's the way I work. I don't work with the powerful and the mighty and in the expected ways. So look on the second page of your, or on the second side here, next Sunday in bold. You'd think Trump had, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. There's no exclamation marks here, so Trump did not write this. Grace did. Next Sunday, don't miss it, it's underlined. Worship begins at 10 a.m. 10, not 11. Not quarter to 11. Not 10:05. But 10 a.m., and it will continue at that time throughout the summer. This is our summer hours, and I am sure that everyone here was up long before their usual time. I don't think anyone slept in today. A show of hands, who slept in today? See, nobody. Nobody. Because the sun is up early, the birds are up early. My husband was out throwing stones at the bird that insisted on singing, not really singing, chirping right beside our balcony. He missed most of the time. Anyway, so next Sunday, 10 o'clock, and it continues throughout the entire summer, even through the first Sunday in September. So the Labor Day long weekend, still the summer hours, and then we will go back. Right now, we can have up to 60 people in person as of today. So I don't know. Bart, do you know what the number is? 31. Okay, so we are way over our usual total. Last Sunday, we could only have 30. One person would have been turned away. No, never. So for those of you at home, we still have room for 29 more. On Thursday afternoon, the Women in Mission will meet downstairs, and immediately after they have met, some of those Women in Mission will run upstairs and meet as the Board of Music and Worship. And we will be planning the summer worship as well as our Sunday at Camp Elam. That's coming up. I don't think it's in here yet. But on June 27th, mark your calendar, we plan to be at Camp Elam, and we're going to try to have as regular a service there as we can for Camp Elam, you know, which is different than meeting here. So you can think about that. I already mentioned the relief sale, And since we're talking about the women in mission, you see that the quilts are still being mentioned here. And so far, 46 quilts have been completed. And they will finish up their work this week, only for this season. And you know why? Now you're probably thinking, oh, because those women want to plant their gardens, and they want to plant their flowers, and they want to visit their grandchildren, and all of those things. That's not the reason. The reason that they're taking everything down is because they ran out of filler. All of the stuff that you put inside, they ran out. Now you say, why would they run out? Well, the women in mission buy their own filler. They order it from MCC, and they go to Saskatoon, and they pick it up, and someone of you brings it back in these big, huge rolls, and we've run out. So if you feel in your heart, I can't quilt, I can't tie very well, but I can support the women in mission making quilts, let them know, and they will purchase more filler. Put that in your soup and sip it. There's always another opportunity for ways to support. Look at the last announcement there, semi-annual congregational meeting on June 19th. That's a Saturday, 10:30 in the morning. We'll meet downstairs. No, I think we'll meet upstairs because we're also doing Zoom, so that those people who are not able to be in the building can attend via the internet. And the agenda will be forthcoming. If you have notice for that agenda, let one of the people on the leadership team know. Anybody else realize they had something to say? No. Thanks, Bart. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the way that you take care of us lovingly. We have sung it. We have heard it said. We have heard the testimony of people recognizing your constancy and your love towards us. And it is so much easier to worship a powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God who loves us. And we can breathe and we can release ourselves to you. We don't need to protect ourselves. We don't need to convince ourselves that this is the right thing to do. We surrender to your love. Thank you for the many ways that you demonstrate that love to us, ways that we can see with our eyes, ways that we can feel in our hearts. And we sense it when we have answers to prayer, answers that we ask for, because that's what you've invited us to do, to come and to ask. And we ask and we ask. And you keep inviting us to keep on asking. It's never time to grow up and be more independent and stop asking. Never. Never. Thank you for the joy that you bring in this season, the sunshine, for the rain, for the seeds that grow, for the hope that grows, for the health that we ask for and receive, and sometimes even the health that we ask for and do not receive. We also bring to you, as we're thanking you for all the prayers that you've answered, we bring again all those things that are rising up in our memories, where we prayed and we didn't get what we wanted, where we cried out to you with longing and you denied what we were asking. We bring that to you again because it pains us. It hurts. And we know that you know about that. and that you care about that, and you want to have a conversation with us about that. We pray that you would give us the confidence that it takes, even in our disappointment, to come to you and to sit a while, to just sit with you in the beauty of who you are, and again surrendering all the pain, the disappointment, the loss, the devastation, whether it's our own personal or it's worldwide. We bring it again into your presence as our act of worship, just as surely as our offering that we put in the plate, we let go of. We also bring these as our offering to you, demonstrating our trust in you, even when the rest of the world looks on and says, see, God is not paying attention, or God is not. We know that's not true, and that's why we've come here to worship together. We know that you are. We know that you love us. We know that you hear us. So we come with our prayer, with our requests, day after day, week after week, with thanksgiving. And as one voice, the way you taught your disciples to pray, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am going to read only one of those portions of Scripture. You see here, the Scripture reading is John 15, verses 1 to 8. And 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. I will read the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, as the screen comes down and Ike gets ready, you will be hearing from Ryan Siemens, who is our regional minister, speaking about abiding in the vine. It'll take a minute.
Good morning, and welcome again to Worship at Home with MC Sask. As I mentioned to pastors recently in an email, it feels like we are in the home stretch. At the time of this recording, Sandra and I are getting eager to book our appointments for vaccinations so that we can move ever so closer to meeting with people face to face, to sing together, to eat together, and to be in each other's presence. But in the meantime, in this space between what used to be and what we are hoping it to be, we find ourselves either on Zoom or YouTube as branches quite spread apart, though still connected to the vine. In fact, if anything, this pandemic has taught us to be flexible and to learn new skills like effectively host an annual delegate sessions on Zoom. In fact, if you haven't already, I invite you to go to our website, mcsask.ca, and watch some of the highlights from our annual sessions. We have a nice little slideshow that connects you to all the things we are and do through a couple of songs. And more importantly, you can watch and hear the testimonies offered by the three congregations that have recently closed: Superb Mennonite Church, Hanley Mennonite Church, and Zora Mennonite Church. You can also watch their closing services there as well. Their sharing at the 2021 MC Sask ADS was undoubtedly the most moving and spiritually enriching part of the day. Even though we weren't physically present to one another, the presence of Christ was with us in that collective holy moment over Zoom. Space was given to share in honest testimony and reflection, and as a community, we listened. Or to use Jesus' words, we abided in him as we abided in one another. Now, of course, you were all muted, or those who were on the meeting were all muted, so had no choice but to listen. However, as I read the many evaluations and talked with folks afterwards, to borrow language from the Lenten worship series, in that moment, deep spoke to deep. I was personally moved when Lois Siemens, the last pastor of Superb Mennonite Church, shared those lovely pictures of life at Superb, a church full of people and memories. But then she showed the picture of the church building being demolished and buried in the ground, making it all so very real. Something good has come to an end. I recall how Steve Kruger, church chair of Hanley Mennonite Church, shared that when a church closes, the work really gets divided into two: the people and the property. The people work involves caring for the community as they deal with the reality of emotions and memberships that come with closing. And the property work focuses on what to do with buildings, tending to a cemetery, and figuring out what to keep or discard. And I can still feel the grief as Liz Berwald, chair of Zora Mennonite Church, shared their discovery of a cemetery while looking in their church's lockbox. A cemetery that nobody knew about. It was grief upon grief. In many ways, as the Mennonite Church Saskatchewan Community of Faith, over this last year, we have been pruned. Three branches of our community are no longer with us. In reflecting upon the decision to close, Gary Peters, now retired pastor of Hanley Mennonite, shared how when a church closes, there can often be feelings of failure and even judgment. As he noted, when someone gets old and has come to the end of their life cycle, we accept death as a natural part of life. But for some reason, when a congregation reaches the end of its life cycle, well, then we ask different questions. Have we somehow failed God? To borrow the imagery of John 15, have we somehow broken off the vine of Christ? Have we not lived up to ours, or worse yet, God's expectations? Could we have done more? I think these thoughts, feelings, and emotions around closing are similar to the thoughts, feelings, and emotions we have when we hear the words of Jesus in John 15:1-8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been pruned by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Even though this text is full of rich imagery, connecting Jesus intimately to God and to the disciples, many of us hear this text as a text of judgment. If you don't produce fruit, you will be pruned, or worse yet, cut off completely and thrown into the fire. And while most gardeners will tell us pruning actually helps to grow better and tastier fruit, what we hear in this text is what happens if we don't. And so, motivated by somewhat a toxic cocktail of shame and unhealthy guilt, we double down, work harder to produce the fruits necessary to show our merit and hopefully earn God's love and favor. But what if this text is not first and foremost about judgment and being cut off, but more importantly, about promise and God's willingness to see us through? David Loess, in his blog In the Meantime, writes, "It's easy to read this passage of one of judgment and threat. Don't produce fruit, and you are cut off. But I think," Loess writes, "the thrust of this passage is promise. Why? It all has to do with context. First, the context of the narrative, the story itself. Jesus is offering these words to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. He knows what's going to happen, both to himself and to his flock. And they do not. They are about to be cut down by his crucifixion and death, and he is assuring them that it will not be a mere senseless cutting, but that they will survive. Even flourish." In follow-up to his words in John 14, where Jesus implores his disciples to trust him, Jesus assures them that despite everything that's going to take place, he is the holy vine. The events of Good Friday will stretch the branches, even break some of them, and yet Jesus assures them that in all of this, they can abide in him as he abides in them. The events of Good Friday will not make sense, and yet Jesus can be trusted. And through all of this, God's work of salvation and restoration will bear fruit. The second context Loess writes is that of the community for which John is writing to. We need to remember the Gospel of John was written well after the events of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And John is not writing as a journalist, simply telling a play-by-play about the events of Jesus. Rather, he is writing as a pastor, as someone concerned, to scattered Christians throughout Judea and beyond, to support them in their current struggles of possibly feeling abandoned and disconnected. Loess writes, because by the time they hear these words, they have already been scattered, likely thrown out of their synagogue, and have plenty of reason to feel like they've been abandoned. But John writes to assure them that while they have indeed been cut, it is a pruning for more abundant fruit and life. Now, before we go down the road of everything happens for a reason, so just suffer and carry on, Jesus' message to his disciples is that no matter what happens, no matter how they're being pruned or separated from one another, Jesus promises to abide in them and give them strength to bear the fruit of God's kingdom. Jesus does not say, abide in me or else. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. This promise to abide in his disciples echoes very much what we read and hear in 1 John 4. And while the word abide does get used in John's epistle, another similar word is used throughout that letter, and that is love. While the thrust of John's writing in his epistle is to encourage the disciples to love each other more fully, which of course is a key fruit of God's kingdom, twice John reminds us that before we can even love God, or anyone else for that matter, God loves us first. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love each other. The starting point of faith isn't what we do for God, but what God has already done for us, which is most fully known in the sacrificial and atoning love of Jesus. Love is God's posture towards a broken and sinful world. It's a love that cannot be earned. It is simply given. It is the love that created the world. It is the love that redeems the world. And it is the love that sustains it. And while, yes, there is sin and injustice and greed and failure and our desire to do what is right, but often get it wrong, at the end of the day, God's abiding love, revealed to us in Jesus, is what ultimately transforms us and the world and communities in which we live. As we reflect upon the past 14 months, it's hard not to feel anything but like we are being pruned. As branches on the vine, it has been difficult not to gather in each other's company to sing, worship together, and potluck. We have been stretched. At times it feels like maybe God has not been near. And yet, in the midst of COVID and sadness around the closing of congregations, and uncertainty of what post-COVID will look like, we go forth abiding in Christ because we can trust and know Jesus abides in us. Amen.
Let's sing in response from our purple book, number 89. Christ is alive. Notice that we're going to end with that refrain. We start with the refrain, then we sing a verse, and after the three verses, we come back to that first line. I hope that's right. Grace is nodding, so that's what we're going to do. Please rise. Thank you. please bow for the benediction. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.